The Electronic Intifada wrote, the Zionist regime has besieged hospitals in the northern half of the Gaza Strip recently. Medical facilities have been under relentless bombardment for the past 24 hours, Doctors Without Borders said recently. The humanitarian charity added that its teams and patients were still inside Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, the largest medical facility in the territory, where more than 11,000 people had been killed since October 7th. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza was unable to publish updated casualty figures as Israeli forces are besieging hospitals and cut telecommunications. Defense for Children International Palestine said recently. Doctors Without Borders reported that Al-Shifa lost electrical power and that ambulances can no longer move to collect the injured, and non-stop bombardment prevents patients and staff from evacuating. The staff were witnessing people being shot as they attempt to flee the hospital. Mohammed Obey, the surgeon with Doctors Without Borders at Al-Shifa Hospital, said that a sniper fire targeted four patients inside the facility, hitting a quadriplegic patient in the neck and another patient in the abdomen. He said that two neonatal patients died because the incubators are not working due to lack of electricity, and an adult patient died after his ventilator shut down. Obeid asked for a guarantee that Al-Shifa's 600 inpatients could be evacuated safely. The UK charity Medical Aid for Palestinians said recently that Al-Shifa's intensive care unit had been bombed and damaged, and that staff moving between buildings have been shot at and critically wounded. The group added that people injured while attempting to flee lie dead or wounded in the street as rescue is impossible. Medical Aid for Palestinians said, with the mortuary shut down, 100 bodies are piled up and cannot be buried. Doctors had to hand ventilate critically ill patients as the facility's emergency power generators shut down. The Zionist regime cut electricity to the territory a month ago as a form of collective punishment prohibited under international law, and has refused to allow the transfer of urgently needed fuel to Gaza. Medical Aid for Palestinians said that more neonatal patients will die soon unless the power supply is restored. The charity added that it had been warning for weeks of the catastrophic consequences if world leaders fail to protect healthcare in Gaza. The group said, "Our worst fears are coming true." Martin Griffiths, the UN's humanitarian chief, said recently that there can be no justification for acts of war in healthcare facilities, leaving them with no power, food or water, and shooting at patients and civilians trying to flee, but did not specifically name Israel in his statement. Griffiths added, "This is unconscionable, reprehensible, and must stop." Robert Mardini, the director of the International Committee of the Red Cross, used uncharacteristically strong language recently. He said the humanitarian organization was shocked and appalled by the images and reports coming from Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza. Mardini added, "Hospitals, patients, staff, and healthcare must be protected." Both the US and the UN have helped give the Zionist regime the green light for its attacks on hospitals in Gaza's north. White House spokesperson John Kirby earlier this week confirmed that The Biden administration has not drawn any red lines for Israel in its purported war on Hamas that has killed thousands of Palestinian civilians. The Biden State Department also refuses to confirm whether the U.S. recognizes that the Fourth Geneva Convention applies to Gaza and the West Bank and won't say what legal framework it believes applies. During a press briefing on November 9th, reporter Sam Husseini said, "It's a free fire zone if you're not going to abide by the Fourth Geneva Convention." Meanwhile, Antonio Guterres, the UN Secretary General, has parroted Israeli government propaganda by calling for the end of the use of civilians as human shields. Guterres gave the Zionist regime a pretext to deliberately target civilians and civilian objects by blaring the distinction between civilian and military targets. By doing so, the head of the UN endangered the lives of patients, their family members, medical staff, and displaced people. The Zionist regime has repeatedly claimed, without providing credible evidence, that Hamas uses Al-Shifa Hospital as a command center. Hamas vehemently denies the accusation and has invited Guterres to form an international delegation to visit hospitals in Gaza and refute what it said was Israel's lies and blatant fabrications to justify targeting civilians. According to Al Jazeera English, Mohammad Rehan, an injured man being treated at Al-Shifa Hospital, in a footage published in Al Jazeera English, said, "Feel for us, we are also human beings." Hanan Fayad, a woman at the hospital, said that her daughter had been paralyzed in an Israeli regime strike while she was waiting in a queue to buy bread. Mohammad Abu Salamia, the director of Al-Shifa, said medical staff cannot evacuate as there are more than 60 patients in the intensive care unit, more than 50 children in the neonatal and pediatric departments, and more than 500 patients in the dialysis departments. Physicians for Human Rights Israel said that with no electricity, water and oxygen, and injured patients left behind at Al-Shifa Hospital with no treatment or means of escape, the situation is no longer a humanitarian catastrophe. It is a collective death sentence.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you,
Because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Muslim Lady from IRIB English Radio, and this is Umma Biha Mukhtar, the host of the show. And our guest today is Sister Salma Khalfan, who is an Islamic researcher and is going to enlighten us about the status of a woman according to the leader, according to Sayyid Ali Khamenei. We had been talking about how a woman is and what kind of talents a woman has. So first, Sister Salma, Salamun Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Salam wa Rahmatullah.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you also.
We would like to continue the talk that we were having in the previous session. And you had told us about the importance of a woman according to Sayyid Ali Khamenei and the kind of talents a woman possesses and the importance of those talents. So if you could also tell us about the nature of a woman according to Rahbar, according to our leader.
Yes, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ayatollah Khamenei says it very beautifully about how a woman is created, and then we will come to know about the way she's effective in the society as well and in her family according to her creation. So he says that God has created a delicate nature in women. Some fingers are big and hoarse enough to dig stones. But these fingers are delicate enough to pick small diamonds and golds. He says it like that. So these delicate fingers, which cannot pick that stone, but can pick off the ground of the tiny gem in the piece and the piece of gold in the ground. And that is the exact story of the responsibility of men and women. So it doesn't mean that if men are picking up stones, women have to pick up those stones, just like as a metaphor. Yeah. Women have their roles, men have their roles. And according to those roles, if women abide by that, her nature, then she'll be able to do a lot in the society, more than she ever thought of.
Very true. I think there is kind of this idea that if a woman is not able to do what a man can do, it's kind of a discrimination and we are not letting that woman do.
Yeah, unfortunately in this feminist world, women want to be equal in that way to men, disregarding the fact that their makeup is not equal.
Very true.
They're different, you see?
Yeah.
But they're equal in their rights, of course. And they enjoy more, I think, more of the rights than men even do, in my opinion. And of course, if you go and look at how much Islam wants her to be in comfort and, in ease, and mostly like in the environment of her home, Islam encourages that. And that's why the duty of motherhood is given to her, because she can't even come out more because of her child, right?
Yeah.
Even women who work, can they come out more?
No.
If they have a child, they can't come out more. Or maybe they take a leave. Or maybe, they work very little, like 3 hours. Or better still, they work at home. Even at home, working is not a bad idea. But of course, if she's able to, if she has somebody to help her with, she could give her child to. But she herself is so worried at that time. She wants to nurture her child herself. She feels concerned herself. So her makeup is like that, She's allocated this kind of a responsibility. So nobody can say, Rahbar says, Sayyid Khamenei says that nobody can say that this responsibility of a man is greater than that of a woman. No, both are essential in their own ways. And since a woman's spirit is more delicate, it needs more peace and tranquility. She needs more comfort and a secure source to rely on. And who is this source of reliance whom she feels the most secure? It is the husband. So here, Ayatollah Khamenei kind of encourages that a woman should get married also. And this is how God, placed them next to one another.
I think it also reminds me of this example, which I think Sayyid Ali Khamenei only had mentioned, that it's like in a football team, Would you say it's a discrimination to have strikers and defenders and a goalkeeper? They should all be strikers. They should all be defenders, or they should all be goalkeepers. It doesn't make sense. The makeup of this world even is such that we need people with different roles, with different, you know, capabilities.
To complement each other.
To complement each other so that they are able to go forward. They're able to, for example, score a goal. If you just had strikers and no defender, then you wouldn't be able to reach that goal that you are hoping to reach.
At this point in time, I must say that the West wants to have strikers only. And they are even going so far that they want even nature to not do its work by getting strikers with strikers.
Very true.
You know,
we would love to expand on these points and to get to know more of the nature of a woman, but inshallah after this short break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So, Sister Salma, you are telling us about the nature of a woman and how being different is not a bad thing, and how the nature of a woman is such that she is naturally inclined to certain aspects, to certain ways. And how Ayatollah Khamenei has told us that being as such is not a bad thing. It's in fact something important.
Something unique,
something,
right?
Something unique, yes.
So another thing we can come up to this is that women are best suited to solve women issues also. You know, the way she's created. Now, another woman should not be left like that without her problems being solved, right? So a woman who is experienced and has performed her talents best suited to her, she can serve the society and she can solve, women issues also. In what way? So here Ayatollah Khamenei says the issue of women is an important one. And the best people who can follow up and solve this issue are none other than women themselves. You know, we do not suffer from a lack of educated and broad-minded, talented, literary and artistic women. You know, in this country, and alhamdulillah, in the world of Islam, the shadow of Islam, so many things have come up and women have been, given the area of progress in. And he explains these women as broad-minded, talented, and he wouldn't exaggerate.
Yes, definitely.
Talented. Literary, that means writing, people who are smart enough to write books, literature, art, poetry, okay? And artistic women, people who are able to, actualize their talents in the field of art. So thankfully today, there are many such women in our country, Ayatollah says. And as I mentioned, we had never had such a large number of educated and knowledgeable and outstanding women in the history of our country. We said history of our country. That means after the revolution, when Islam was spread so far and wide and people came to, have the knowledge better of Islam, then that's how the position of women was acknowledged. And that's how she gained all these talents. I mean, she could actualize all these talents. She was gaining more respect.
Yes.
So then, Ayatollah Khamenei says in a very nice way that all these things, made like in the history of the country, neither in the academic level nor in the seminary level. That means the whole level.
Yeah.
So women here could also benefit by going to the seminary, learning Islamic knowledge and educating their peers also and their families also. Then Ayatollah Khamenei says, fortunately, today we have women who would also teach Quran to their fellows.
Yes, yes.
So seminary is giving a way to women to learn Quran, the sciences of Quran, in such a way that they can implement this knowledge of Quran to their fellows, to their peers, to the women in general, to their children. It's very important for Ayatollah Khamenei for women to undertake this role of spreading the knowledge of Islam. As far as, for example, the main source of Islam is Quran.
Yeah.
Quran is concerned. He encourages women to do that.
I think, unfortunately, the mind of the world today is so small that it feels that A woman is only liberated if she is able to do some, either some very big things, or she has to be behind a desk all the day, or she has to show off her body. And when a woman is able to, for example, be a model or something, that is when she's liberated. That is when she's, you know, she's doing something in the society. She is able to show herself, you know, people are looking up to her. Unfortunately, if you notice, most of these women singers and models, they are now the icons of the society. They're looked up at. And it's such a pity that a woman has to be degraded so much to be looked at while she has so many important roles to play. She can be such a role model while being modest, while being, you know, true to herself.
Godly.
Yeah, right? Godly. Like nowadays, being godly is looked at as something, you know.
Something like a very old-fashioned,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're just supposed to be godly when you're on your prayer mat. Why are you trying to, you know?
Unfortunately, even if a woman, for example, she's called a researcher, if she researches and takes maybe 10 years to research about different kinds of butterflies, which is so insignificant in a way, of course, I don't want to underestimate. It's a nature thing, right? So you have to know about all these things. But why waste your time in all these things, like 10 years of research for a simple, for example, butterfly, the different species of a butterfly, rather than researching the Holy Quran, which has divine sciences, divine knowledge, the knowledge that even, you know, whether they like it or not, the West is after that.
Yeah.
Whether they believe it or not, they are religion lovers. Where everyone is a religion lover. So Ayatollah Khamenei emphasizes women to take, you know, part in this seminary activities also. Not only the, you know, the academic level, which is good in its own way. We have to do something for the world as well. We have to show our power that we are also, we have also our sciences, we are also progressing in every field. Our women are also progressing. But you should not lag behind this level that, okay, you're given the platform to gain knowledge, understand, take part in every activity in national and international level. Don't forget where you come from, your creation, your originality, and that is in the Islamic sciences.
Definitely.
So a woman can develop that in a very beautiful way. If she like engages herself in the Islamic knowledge also, she will be even higher than the academic student of the university level.
Yes. Also, this kind of distinction that, you know, being Islamic is being only a certain way. I feel like Islam encompasses everything. And so if we are trying to show that a woman is, you know, is learned, it doesn't only mean like learned in one or two specific fields. Islam encompasses everything. So we shouldn't take anything lightly. And unfortunately, we have people who only look at a certain thing as very important. And they miss out on, for example, you know, the Islamic values that we're taught from when we were children. Now that is looked at, as you said, old-fashioned, and only things that are more academic, which are also in reality under the Islamic umbrella, are looked at as important. And therefore, somebody who has only studied in Harvard or Oxford are looked at as very, you know, influential and great people, while somebody who has reached a very high, you know, stage in their
Islamic sciences,
they are looked at as someone, you know, who is in a low level.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Thank you very much. This has been very enlightening, and inshallah, we are able to, you know, implement and understand the nature of a woman, and, you know, be able to tell others about this beautiful gift that we have as women, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sister Salma Khalfan. And it has been very nice talking about, you know, the responsibility of a woman, the nature of a woman according to the eyes of the revolutionary leader. Thank you very much for joining us, and inshallah, we hope to see you in the next episode.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. Here is another thought-provoking saying for our guidance from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Live among people in such a manner that if you die, they weep for you, and if you are alive, they crave for your company.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Abu Ramadan and his family in the Gaza Strip.
Part 2.
Because of the continuous heavy shelling and the fear of becoming a target, all family members rushed to the sheltering school, thinking that their whole house would be bombed at any moment. Because Gazans know that drone missiles are guided missiles of the F-16 fighters, which could destroy their house.
We're afraid that they bomb it and destroy it. We do not belong to Hamas or to Fatah, but may Allah protect them. We support everybody. All the Muslims are our children. My son and his wife were in the apartment during that. What shall we do?
They targeted the mosque while the prayers were inside. Mosques and churches did not survive the bombings. They destroyed everything and no one is safe. Why is that? Is it because we have what is there, right? Or because we want to live dignified on our land and in our homeland like other nations? The right of this land is ours and they took it. Where is our land that they took?
Inside the sheltering school, which houses tens of the expelled families from Al-Shaja'iyah, and Al Zaytun neighborhoods, people are living moments of waiting and fear. Some are watching the planes in the sky, while others are following the smoke coming out because of the continuous shelling in the Gaza Strip. Others could not enter the classes. They prefer to stay out in the corridors or the school square because the classes are crowded with women and children.
Four families live in one classroom. Our family, Al-Ghazali family, Al-Dahshan family, and Arafat family. There is no enough room in the refugee schools, but we should support each other.
My husband and I have three children. We are now in the streets. My husband and I sleep on one mattress. In this class, there are about 40 people, including children and elders, and the number keeps on rising.
The displaced families from the eastern borders of the Strip live inside the school. When the sunset is close, people start to make movements. Everyone is busy preparing the requirements to break their fast, gathering some food and drinks. The same as for Abu Ramadan and his family. To the sounds of explosions, the fasting people break their Ramadan fast. Some of them have their meals inside the classrooms, while others eat in the corridors because there is not enough space.
They have started bombing now. They will continue this the whole night. We could not sleep last night, and I'm still awake till now.
We took refuge at the UNRWA schools because they provide protection in wartime. We're not supposed to be bombed there. However, we may be hit in this UNRWA school. They fire random missiles and don't care what they are hitting.
There is a bombing every second. I was once going to the bathroom when a missile shrapnel fell next to me. My children have urinary incontinence because of fear.
After breaking their fast, the men gathered in a circle in the corridor. They started discussing what happened in the country.
They are killing children, women, and innocent people. They killed children from Shuhaiber family while they were playing on the roof.
Yes, I know them. Two girls and a boy.
They targeted them.
And they killed people who were fleeing from Al-Mansura.
What did they do? What was their fault?
70 people were killed today, but there is nothing to justify that.
They were children. What was their fault? We want to live like other nations, like the rest of the world. Every 2 or 3 years comes a new war, and they kill young men.
They creatively kill children and cut trees. They destroy buildings too. Are they humans even?
The whole world is silent.
If they want to be creative, they should send their soldiers man to man in the battlefield. It is not by using planes to kill children, women, and the old people.
What is the fault of those who are being killed? What is the fault of the children? Do children fire rockets?
They say that children fire rockets. So drone rockets cut the children's necks off their bodies because these children fire rockets.
Yesterday in Shajaiya, they bombed many houses. What was the people's fault? F-16 rockets destroy huge buildings upon their residence. Why?
Yes, Al-Bash family and Abu Kawar family, for example.
During the discussion, they heard the Al-Isha call prayer in Gaza, along with the sounds of the Israeli army's F-16 planes bombing everywhere. Despite their fear and horror, the men gathered in the school square to perform the Isha prayers, asking Allah to protect them.
Say, I seek refuge in the Lord of mankind, the King of mankind, the God of mankind, from the evil of sneaking whisperer who whispers evil into the hearts of mankind, from among the jinn and evil men. God is great. God listens to the one who praises him. O Allah, we ask you to make the Mujahideen's shots true. O Allah, put horror into the corrupted hearts of the Zionists. O Allah, we ask you to bring their planes down, to destroy their tanks, and put fear in the hearts of their soldiers. O Allah, we ask you to paralyze their attack. Peace be upon the Prophet Muhammad and his companions. God is great.
After finishing the prayers, sounds of firecrackers and takbir were heard over the school. Everybody was smiling and was delighted in spite of the killing and destruction. Obviously, there was good news that spread. After 450 martyrs and more than 3,000 injuries up until that day were the result of the ongoing war by the Israeli occupation of the Gaza Strip.
The Palestinians captured an Israeli soldier. I hope they capture another one tonight. This is victory for us. We will free all our prisoners and get all our demands with this soldier.
We did not want to imprison the soldier, but they themselves made us kidnap him. We did not want that from the beginning, but they made us do so.
After the celebration, there were more explosions and raids, but everyone went to sleep in the school. At dawn, Abu Ramadan woke up to start a new day with unknown surprises.
There is bombing and destruction every day. They have been bombing Al-Shaja'iyah neighborhood the whole night and everybody left it. There are many martyrs. Houses were destroyed and men, children and old men were killed. What life is this?
A new morning comes to the Gaza Strip, while the war of destroying houses on its residents continues.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, salamun alaikum, so welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about hijab fashion in the view of Islam. Please listen to this episode. Assalamu alaikum. Today, Wednesday, is the 1st of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Aban, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and 15th of November, 2023, the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Allah's book, the Holy Quran, chapter al-Ahzab, that is chapter 33 of the Holy Quran, Verse 32.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا نساء النبي لستن كأحد من النساء إن اتقيتن فلا تخضعن بالقول فيطمع الذي في قلبه مرض وقلن قولا معروفا.
O wives of the Prophet, you are not like anyone among women. If you fear Allah, then do not be soft in speech to man, lest he in whose heart is disease should covet, but speak with appropriate speech.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
When the wives of the Prophet, most of whom were old and aged and had a simple life, are warned that they should not speak with an amorous gesture, the young and beautiful women must count their own account. From one side, because of your connection to the Prophet, and that you are inside the center of revelation, and hear the verses of the Quran and teachings of Islam. On the other side, you have such a particular situation that you can be a model for all women, whether in the way of piety or in the way of sin. Therefore, you must recognize your situation and do not neglect your heavy responsibility.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
This is today's special, hijab fashion in the view of Islam. Muslims are required to pay attention to their appearance, making sure that their clothing is beautiful and clean, especially when dealing with others and when performing the prayers. Looking at the women wearing hijab in different countries, you will see that the form that the hijab takes is more influenced by culture than anything. You will find women who wear it very long and women who wear it shorter. What Muslim women do now is trying to fit in as many different styles and combinations within set parameters and guidelines through color, fabrics, and style of wearing the hijab. You will even find that during some seasons, certain colors will be in fashion, while in other seasons, different colors will be more. Thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The role of modest fashion in Islamic culture. So, what are the dangers of fashionism? Fashionism characterized by an excessive obsession with fashion trends and materialistic values presents several concerns from an Islamic perspective. The first is materialism. Islam encourages detachment from the material world and warns against excessive pursuit of material possessions. Fashionism often promotes materialism as individuals invest substantial time and financial resources into acquiring the latest trends. The next danger is immodesty. The next danger of fashionism is immodesty. Fashionism can lead to the promotion of immodest attire, which contradicts the Islamic emphasis on modesty and humility in dress. The third danger that we can talk about and name here is vanity and arrogance. Yes, vanity and arrogance can be a danger of fashionism. An obsessive focus on fashion can breed vanity and arrogance. Qualities that Islam discourages. The next danger that we can refer to is peer pressure. Fashionism is often fueled by societal pressures to conform to specific fashion standards. Islam encourages individuals to resist negative societal influences when they contradict their religious values.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
In this program, today's special, you'll learn about the requirements of hijab. One of them is not imitating other faith. Islam encourages people to be proud of who they are. Muslims should look like Muslims and not like mere imitation of people of other faith around them. Women should be proud of their femininity and not dress like men. And men should be proud of their masculinity and not try to imitate women in their dress. For this reason, Muslim men are forbidden from wearing gold and silk, as these are considered feminine accessories. Another requirement of hijab is decent but not flashy. The Quran instructs that clothing is meant to cover our private areas and be an adornment. As in Quran chapter 7 verse 26, Allah mentions it. Clothing worn by Muslims should be clean and decent, neither excessively fancy nor ragged. One should not dress in a manner intended to gain the admiration or sympathy of others. That starting with a friend is one of the tips to get started with hijab. Yes, it's only natural for us to seek moral support, especially when embarking on a new journey. Remember, as well as being adherents of faith, we are also human beings. Allah Himself knows this, as does not neglect our emotional and psychological needs. Started this journey with a friend or family member will not only provide you with the support and motivation you need, but will increase you in rewards. As we know, when we encourage another onto a good deed, we also receive the rewards of the deed without any being taken away from that person.
If you end up spending like $600 on a shirt, just a regular T-shirt,
right,
that you're gonna wear when you go to sleep, that just has an LV sign,
mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, you know. Yeah. There is no reason for it. However, I would say maybe for certain individuals, mm-hmm. In certain places, like I said, to demonstrate their success, to demonstrate their power. It is needed, so we can't say or desired.
Right.
So we can't say, you know, well, it's good for somebody and it's bad for someone else.
Right.
If you know you're looking at something that's gonna make you look better and nicer and more presentable and seemingly more successful, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that as long as it does not do several things. One, it's not israf. Mm-hmm. You're not overdoing it. You're not transgressing in the way that you spend. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. Second, it doesn't become addictive, where it's like a drug, where you feel that without, you know, this Louis Vuitton bag or this Louis Vuitton purse or without, you know, my Prada shoes, then I am not the person that I would like to be.
Right.
For you to understand that those things don't define who you are. Mm-hmm. If you are constantly in need of those things to feel good about yourself, then you have to cure this issue in a different way.
Right.
If I constantly feel I need to flash, you know, my watch or my jewelry or my tattoos or whatever it is that's fashionable. If I need to constantly flash those things, that tells me there's something wrong within. And that is, you know, lack of attention, that is greed for attention, wanting to just be flashy all the time, not being content with who you are, not right. being content with what you have, being greedy for the dunya. And that is not something that's desirable. If you buy those things and you have them and you enjoy them for yourself,
right?
Yes, maybe other people will look at them and they will enjoy them on you, and like I said, it would give you an image of success and your achievements. But even without them, even when you're not wearing that watch, even when you're not wearing that belt, even when you're not doing all those things, people still respect you.
Right.
People still desire you for who you are. So whether you're a successful attorney or a successful physician or a successful scholar, this is who you are. Anything beyond that is the decoration or the ornaments of the dunya.
So we were speaking about hijab. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic on this controversial and interesting topic on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Don't forget to listen to us. And till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي. Our voice.
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
A blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames, and nothing remains. Just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike, murdered and massacred night after night. While the so-called leaders of countries afar debated on who's wrong or right. But their powerless words were in vain, and the bombs fell down like acid rain. Through the tears and the blood and the pain, you could still hear that voice through the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go Gaza tonight. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our spirit will never die. We will not go down in the night without a fight. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. A blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames, and nothing remains. Just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
headlines, Palestinian resistance group Save US is a partner in the crime Israel is committing at Al-Shifa Hospital and is fully responsible for its consequences.